Today in our church gathering, we told the story of the Passover by actually having a meal and going through the story by sharing this meal together. And so there wasn't a sermon. It's kind of a different way of learning and worshipping. But I want to give a few thoughts on Passover for those who weren't able to join us, or who, or for those who are interested in thinking more about the Passover. For those of you who were there, I don't know how you felt as you followed the script of Passover, as you said the words, as you did the actions, as you ate the food. Perhaps you found it strange, a strange act to perform, because it might not feel like our history, our story. What do we know about what it's like to be a slave? The Passover presents the world as an often brutal and cruel place where people are capable of doing terrible things to one another. And yet, it also declares there is a God who acts to deliver and bring in a new future. Now, again, maybe that can be hard to grasp, although maybe not, given what is happening in our world at the moment. Maybe actually at this time when we're seeing war and dictators trying to come in and oppress and take over, the Passover might speak a fresh word to us. You know, the Passover is in many ways a dark story that speaks about the cost of real freedom. It's kind of the beginning point, the first labor pains into a new future and identity God is creating. And in a way, maybe it should feel strange, because it's not like other stories that we often hear. You know, often we hear we don't need God to be happy. It's okay for some people to have lots and others have little. It's okay for there to be war or dictators. That's just the way things are. But the Passover challenges that. This is an important memory that God instructs people to hold on to, because its impact is still rippling out today. Leviticus 23 verse 4 says, "In addition to the Sabbath, these are Yahweh's appointed festivals, the official days for holy assembly that are to be celebrated at their proper times each year. Yahweh's Passover begins at sundown on the 14th day of the first month." The Passover was and is a really important Jewish festival. In the first month, at the beginning of the year for Jewish people who follow the spring calendar, they later switched to the autumn calendar, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, the people of Israel were to celebrate Yahweh's Passover. Every year they were to remember this event by holding a feast. Until the temple was built, this was essentially a family festival happening in each home as they gathered for the night. You can read about it in more detail in Exodus 12. To celebrate Passover required careful preparation by the whole family. 4 days before the feast, each family would choose a male lamb from their flock and scrutinize it to ensure that it was without any imperfection. At twilight on Passover, all of the lambs were slaughtered, and in the beginning, their blood was spread over the door frames of the family homes. It's not a pretty picture, is it? You can imagine. You can actually smell death in the air with blood dripping down. This is the cost of their freedom, staining their doorways. The flesh of the animal was then roasted on the fire and eaten, accompanied with bitter herbs and unleavened bread. None of the meat was to be kept for the next day, so any remains had to be burned. This feast powerfully reminded the Israelites of the night God delivered them from slavery into freedom. It's hard to capture that if you're just reading about the account. Sometimes parts of the Bible are like an instruction manual for people to actually live out. That's why we tried to enter into the story in church today. Because we don't want to just read the story, but we want to taste the salt water and bite into the hard egg and get our taste of this is what slavery is like. It isn't pleasant. And children are actually invited to ask, why is the family doing this? And the adults are to say to remember and let that memory shape the way we live in the present. Say, we as families were spared from death because we marked our homes with blood and God passed over us. Telling the story this way through food and sight allowed each new generation who didn't actually go through the Passover to experience a little bit of what it must have been like. It helped each generation to recognize that they too are people who've been saved by Yahweh. We talk a lot about intergenerational worship. Well, it was happening right in the beginning as God instructed the whole family to remember and to participate in this feast. When Jesus lived, Passover was one of three pilgrim feasts. Hundreds of people would pour into Jerusalem to celebrate it. There was a great expectation in the first century that God would act again. People were in many ways slaves, this time to the Roman Empire, oppressed and still yearning for freedom, for God to act powerfully once more. God did act powerfully, but not in the way people were anticipating. Something bigger plan, not just freedom from a nation, but freedom from the power of sin and death. This time would be the life of God's own Son. Jesus, who entered Jerusalem as he had for the past 3 years or more, instructed his disciples to prepare an early Passover, and they ate together late in the night, sharing a meal like we have done. And then with that old story still ringing in their ears and on their tongues, they walked to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed before the religious authorities came to arrest him. Jesus was questioned and tested by religious and civil leaders, just as the Passover lamb was examined to ensure that it was without fault. In the end, Pilate pronounced his verdict, John 19, verse 6, "I find no basis for a charge against him." Nevertheless, at twilight on Passover, as lambs all around Jerusalem were being slaughtered, Jesus, the ultimate Passover lamb, was killed. Peter, reflecting years later, wrote in his letter, 1 Peter 1:18, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and was not paid with mere gold or silver, which loses their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." You might have wondered why we sometimes sing about Jesus as a lamb. It's a strange image, but people quickly made the connection and saw that Jesus was the Passover lamb. He fulfilled that role, bringing freedom to those who trust in him. Covered in his blood, so to speak, we find a new identity, no longer slaves to sin and death and empty lives. I hope we don't take that protection, that deliverance lightly, or forget the cost. It's one of the reasons why we tell the story of Jesus every week. And I hope we pause for a moment today and recognize all the people in this world who are slaves, literally slaves, and those who are oppressed, those who long for liberation. I hope you take a moment and pause, perhaps as you eat and chew over a meal, your own need, your own longing for salvation. We need to keep repeating these stories because God is still in the process of bringing about a future where there'll be no more death or oppression or slavery or sin, and he calls us to join in this work. How are we going to do that? Might we live a rich and deep life, bound in the blood of the Lamb, free to love others, even in this imperfect world, committed to this people God is forging together, free to hope and give generously and work for good. A new life is waiting us. Why not take a moment to pause and give thanks to the God who delivers?